Matins Unreal 3. What does IMB stand for?
I'm not quite sure, but it's something imperial or something. It was a brigade that was given special jobs to do, and their job in Moulmein was in case of the parachutes coming in there. They sent them up to replace the ones that had been against us. We'd lost 75% of the men. And we found out the dates later on by the 7th of 1974. Turned out later the information also was to the blockages of the road where our aircraft had been bombing the roadway and blocking the three main roads leading up to Imphal and Kohima and to the Arakan. And one of the RAF officers got lost by accident. He ran into this dump, Japanese dump. And he wandered around it. He didn't find any troops at all guarding it or anything. And he made his way back to Aberdeen. And he gave the information at Aberdeen. And they said, right, we'll take an LP. He said, and we'll send for the aircraft and we'll have it all sorted out. So he took smoke bombs with him. And when the aircraft came in sight, he dropped the smoke bombs in the area. It took him 5 days continuous bombing to demolish it. He turned it was a full 21 days of all those Japanese up at the front in Kohima and Imphal and all around in that area. Anyway, we found out later that they had no food and short of ammo. And apparently they made an attack which failed. And the same thing happened on the Arakan.
So, what happened to you next in White City?
Well, we were in White City for about 8 weeks.
Doing what?
Guarding, you know, doing patrols and things like that.
Were you attacked?
Yeah. Oh, I.
How often?
Well, now and again, he was given a chance to have a look around and around the perimeter. They'd tell you to go out up to Moulmein and see what was happening. Was there any troops coming down from Michinor? The other half of our group went into Morlow. And that was the day when Colonel Fleming, you know Ian Fleming's brother, he took a Jeep, 3-inch mortar and a Browning gun, and he went into Morlow causing a ruck. He was as crazy as a youth. Didn't come out. Yeah, by the way, his glider crashed. Marshall went back and then he flew back in again.
What were the Japanese attacks like on White City? Japanese attacks on White City like?
They were massive. It was stupid, really, the way that they attacked. With the firepower that we have, we're Brownings, Vickers Kays, all lined. You know, line of fire. The three rods of dark wire to go through. Three sets of dark wire. One Japanese blew himself in half. Fell across the bungalow top here. The ring was still on his thumb. He got shot and fell across him. And the other four, their bungalows were still by their body. But they never got to the wire with it.
Were you manning a machine gun yourself?
Well, I only had a Bren for about 4 or 5 nights, but I chiefly had a 2-inch mortar and my rifle. The 2-inch mortar, I used to fire one and one. That was 3 and 2 on 5. You fired one each. Or I should say, you fired one very, very light. You know, what do you call them? Star shell. You fired one star shell. Then one HE, a star shell, HE, and a star shell. And then you give it, a short one. If that was it, if there was firing going on, where you use your head on what to fire. If you were firing star shell, you had to fire them alternate.
Did you think that the Japanese could ever take White City?
Oh, no. Never thought for 1 minute. They'd had good tries, granted. But they'd never have got in. Because there was another row behind them, waiting for them. Not only that, we'd laid all the booby traps in front of the wire.
What did they consist of?
Pardon?
What did the booby traps consist of?
Well, when they had a supply drop, you know, the ammunition boxes that they start their shells with, 3-inch mortar within, sometimes the shells would crack because they were unfit for firing. So we used to put 3, a piece of gelignite, you know, cut to quarter. Piece of gelignite, up to 2 ounces. We used to put a tripwire on it. Anything like that. Jumping Jesus, we called it. We had some things what we called Jumping Jesus.
What were they?
It was a 6-inch hand grenade, an outside hand grenade. And it was fired with a gun cotton charge. You used to jump 6 feet in the air and explode. They were deadly.
So were the booby traps very effective?
Oh, yeah.
How close to the Japanese did you come yourself?
Well, as I told you, the first lot that had come, we were quite close. We saw them quite, we saw them quite clear. And after that, there was once when we was out on patrol, we were sat in some bushes and they walked right past us, but that far away.
Couple of feet?
Hmm. I was only a couple of feet away.
Would the Japanese shout things to you or shout out?
Oh yes, they'd shout. It was chiefly at night time when they were making attacks that they'd shout. You know, they'd start shouting out, "Take eyes on me." Of course, you know what that did, do you?
What does it mean?
It's okay, you know what? Take eyes means all right in Hindustani. All right, you come now, Johnny. Take on. See the jow.
What does that mean?
Well, go forward. Thought they were up to all that, but they never bothered. Mind we used to shout back at them.
What did you use to shout? Was it abusive?
Hey?
Was it abusive?
it was all abusive. To be truthful, one night we was on our own. Calvert had come up. We'd lost two men that night. And Calvert had come up. I was still in the cabin where these two men had got killed. And it was two blokes named one. Well, don't know if I'd better mention the name or not. But anyway, these two, all these was killed, and they were friends of mine. And of course, my blood was boiling when I found out that they'd got killed. And I was sat in. That night I'd got the Bren gun and all. That night I was shouting out, come on, you help. And the voice was back of me, was shouting the same. So, I let it carry on, I didn't bother. Thought it was some of the blokes in the other bunkers. And I turned round and it was on top of that, then back of where I was. And it was Calvert. I didn't know who it was. Then I said, get down, you stupid. Are you trying to live in? That's not the one that's applied to. You know, the one that's applied to. And he said, all right, Matt, it's not in me.
Did you hit the Japanese?
Oh, yeah. He used to shout their orders out as they was coming in. So I'm saying, they get themselves away. They have lots of bad habits.
Such as?
Oh. Well, for one thing, their shoes that they had given away. Yeah, well, you could follow them from the jungle.
What was special about them?
Well, they had a slit toe in a shoe. And they were always regular in their habits, you know, their evolution. We used to wait for them. Wait till they got the pants down.
What time was that?
Oh, any time between 7:30 and 8:00. There's any of this clockwork. He used to go and he used to say, hey, Jimmy Riddle time, come on, let's go.
Were there any prisoners taken?
At the latter end, we got that many, we didn't know what to do with them. But they finished off working for us. Because they got fed up with them, no food, and no ammunition.
Working in.
That would have been more gone.
Working in what way? Labouring?
Yeah. Not well, they were taking and carrying our wounded to the medical officer.
Because people always say the Japanese would never surrender.
Yeah, they always said that. We had one early on, and he'd been kicked from pillar to post. He said, give me a rifle and I'll help you, fella. He said, I'm just sick and tired of the way that I've been treated. By the way, we were tapped into their lines, you know.
You were what?
We were tapped into their lines. We had a third generation Jap with us. He used to listen in to the conversations. And then some blokes come in with big voices one day and give the game away.
How do you mean?
Well, they started speaking English. They went off and they never come back on again.
You mean tapped into their landlines?
Yeah. Well, we was on their phones.
Was he an American, this third generation Japanese?
Yes, he was. Actually, the people that give the game away were some signallers, British signallers and all.
If we come back to White City, can you tell me about any other incidents that happened to you in White City during that 8 weeks you were there?
Well, there's only one incident that really come to me. I was on the last water detail because we had to get the water from outside the White City. And we'd have to wait for our detail, our sergeants, and he came along with his name was Sergeant Lee. He was a gypsy. Wingate had him specially brought in because of his knowledge of mules and horses and, you know, ponies and one thing or another. And he couldn't either read or write. And they made him a sergeant. He was taking a lot of detail that day. I don't know if you heard of Minnie, the mule that was born in Burma. Well, I'd give a photograph to the fusiliers of it, the only one, where it was young. And if you want a copy of it, I'll get you one. Anyway, what happened was that Minnie called me Minnie. We were down at the waterhole. Next minute there, we heard some bangs from far, you know, from way out. And we thought, oh, somebody's copping it. And next minute there, the show come over into the block. So everyone was called in right away. It started early that night, at about 4:30. We hadn't even had our tea. And they started shelling them. That was the first time that we heard of the 6-inch mortar that they had. When we told them about it at HQ, they said there's no such a thing as a 6-inch mortar. Anyway, we got some dud shells and sent them back.
So, what was this soldier? Was he a fusilier, this Lee?
Lee, yes.
From the Lancashire Fusiliers?
Yes, he was with the Lancashire Fusiliers. What happened was that... Next minute, he called everybody in and he said, I'll go and get 2 pikemen. And he gave the pony to me. He gave Minnie to me to take in. You know, to look after it and take it back in while he got the men. All he did was want to go after him. Anyway, I finished off picking it up and carrying it. It was that small. And it let out with its hoof at me. It was on his right, being smacked. Anyway, I carried it in and I put it down, and they came looking for us to see if we'd all got back when they heard it all. They came to see if it was all right. Sergeant Lee walked in then, and then he run to him like a dog, and it followed him up the pathway back to HQ, and he had a special dugout for it. Anyway, eventually, it was they ordered it to be flown out. It was flown out, the pony, Minnie. And it was made the Lancashire Fusiliers mascot. For 11 years it lived. Anyway, following it was in Hong Kong, and it was in Kenya, and it was in Egypt, and it was in Crete. Anyway, it died in Egypt, and its hoofs they had them mounted in silver and made into inkwells, and they're in the museum at Bury. That's there in the museum at Bury on Shore, mounted in the silver, as I said.
Did you have anything to do with looking after the animals in White City?
No, I didn't have any. I didn't have anything to do with any of the mules at all.
Did supplies ever run short in White City?
No, they'd plenty of plenty of ammo. Everything was plentiful. You just helped yourself to what you wanted. Any special stores, they used to fly in and drop and personnel. That night when I told you about the attack, when we lost them two men, that same night, there was 25 C-47s landed on the airstrip running parallel with the block. They brought the West Africans in. Because they found out about these troops, and we'll tell you about what's coming up. So he reinforced the block as well. And they had these West Africans form in, and they had artillery pieces brought in as well. Both was guns, but they were all stripped down. You know, they were all in parts. They were both within 25 pounders. I forget how many were. I think there were three Bolfers, and I forget how many 25-pounders there were. But the following day, some Jap planes came over, and when they opened fire, they tipped over and run. I think they shot one. I think one was shot down. Because they came in that low, and I don't think they expected to open fire with a Bolfers gun. But they used them on open sights, you know, on the hills as well. They were only probably about 50 plus hours up on the hills. One side of it was jungle, and on the other side it was all clear.
So how did you come to leave White City in the end?
Well, it was nearly at its vital point where it lost its use. You know, there was not much use. But it was not much use anyway after. So they were closing the Aberdeen down, and they were building another one, which they called Blackpool. That wasn't far from Morgan. But our section, we was given orders then that we was to go up into the jungle and have a little rest. And then we got orders then that we had to make our way to Taypor Ferry, which wasn't far from Morgong. And we was to guard the river Morgong, because it went in, it did go into the Indorgy Lake, where they had the some blunt flying boats landing, taking the wounded out. You know, an Indorgy Lake. Oh, there's some beautiful, fishing there. In that Indorgy Lake. Golden off. They were this size.
18 inches.
Ooh, whoppers.
What was the name of this ferry you were ordered to move to?
Taper. T-A-P. I forgot how to spell it.
T-A-P-A-W.
That's right, A-W. Taper.
What was it like getting there?
Well, it wasn't too bad. When we come down from the ferry, there, Taypor. T-A-P-A-W. Taypor Ferry. It's on a path that goes from that Ermine Tongue. That's, there's a Gurkha, there's a Gurkha village then, near Pinami. Were Gurkhas that from previous, you know, the families that had during the campaigns in Burma, they'd given the land. And
what's happened once you got to Taypor Ferry?
Well, we built a defence in there, and it was an exceptionally good defence as well. The Captain Butler, to stop. Yeah. There wasn't much happened really on the river itself, but some of them had tried to escape the Japanese on the river, and they'd opened fire at them. Some Japanese, we found them at the side of the river. They were absolutely covered from head to toe in Them spud suckers.
Leeches.
Leeches. Oh, it was terrible. You couldn't put a pin between them.
How long were you at the ferry?
About 6 weeks, I think. 5 or 6 weeks. Probably about 5 or 6 weeks we was at the ferry.
What else did you do?
Whilst we were there, there were some boat people came, Americans. I think it was about 10 in all. They jumped out with these boats and these horse engines. And they went, they took the boats and went all the way up to Windorgy Lake, ferrying the troops out. You know, that's ferrying the troops to the doing. They had no special training or anything, but they jumped out, made a perfect landing. All the boats and everything was, you know, came out, seahorse engines, got them all going. There was one damage, I think, and the seahorse engines, they had them running up and down the river. And then we had them for ferrying the Chinese over, which was our main task, was to get the Chinese over the river so they could take a part in the Battle at Mogong. Anyway, they were late, 2 days late. And then Calvert got mad when he heard it on the radio that the Chinese had taken Mogong. They'd arrived when it was all over. That was something else that some of the powers that they were doing on Paul Wingate.
What impression did you get of the Chinese troops?
Well, there was two different lots of them, you know. There was a train by the Americans, which were pretty good. And the others was, I wasn't given, I won't pass the day away, they were in the toilet. But, they were hard faces. Thieves! Oh, good God. We had some drum doctors, got night time, you know, it got terribly cold. You know, just before the monsoon started. And, they lit a big fire. They were singing away like blazed. They'd only got the rum, pinched the rum. Made a rum. They drunk it raw. Anyway, they went around to them, going out, and so the officer put some of them under the, you know, the Chinese officer. What was his name? I'll tell you his name in a minute. Major Pinmore, Pinemore, something like that. And he'd place some of them under arrest right away. They'd even pick them pinching rations. Oh, they're not on ceremony with them, you know. They don't have to go off them when they're in the court. At the ferry, they done quite well.